In Genesis 20, Abimelech takes Abraham's wife for himself. And he does this semi-innocently. He was told that she was his sister. But Abimelech did have his own wife, so he was taking, he was committing a polygamous act, but there was a general kind of innocence there. And God comes to Abimelech and he warns him in a dream what he's doing, and he prevents Abimelech from touching her, and God says, I also withheld her from you and from you sinning against me, therefore I did not let you touch her. And how does Abimelech respond? He responds with repentance. He restores her. He blesses Abraham. And the people that he was with were also blessed consequence to his repentance. Now, God has come to us in the form of the Christ, and he has told us that it is a sin against God to touch another man's wife, to even look at her with lust. And how have we responded? How have we responded as the people of God? We live in an age where your local conservative church sanctions, encourages, and defends taking other men's wives. They defend wife stealing and wives taking other women's husbands, of course. And this is a sin against God. God tells Abimelech, I kept you from sinning against me, right? This is a sin against God, this wife stealing. And we do this all the time. We do this all the time. And we ignore it, we tolerate it, we defend it, and we don't take it seriously. Because if we were to take it seriously, if we were to address it, it would be too messy. It would threaten the lives that we have envisioned for ourselves. It would destroy our social circles. It would destroy our family reunions. It would destroy our comfortable potlucks at church. We ignore it because we don't want to die. It would cost our life. But we would go on living, and nobody wants to endure that kind of suffering. Jesus says that if you don't pick up your cross and follow him, that you're not worthy of him. And how could Jesus lay such a burden on his people? I'll tell you, because it's not a burden. Jesus says his yoke is light. It is something that we can bear, and it's something that it should be a privilege to bear. We should be rejoicing and exultant in being able to bear these kinds of crosses. It's freedom to die in such a way. Because everybody has to die. Everybody's going to die for something. You are either going to die for the things of this world, or you're going to die for Christ. And the difference is that the things of this world don't give you anything lasting. But when you die for Christ, you are given a crown. You are given glory. You are given something that lasts. And this is what Christ calls us to, suffering, but also offers us glory and a crown. And there is no crown without suffering. There is no crown without the cross. There is no glory without a firing squad. This is what Christians are called to do. You have to love suffering to be a Christian. And in doing so, you're striving for glory. Paul says it's those who strive for glory, it's a good thing. But it's the manner in which we strive for it is one of self-denial and death. And this is a problem for Christians who are allowing this wife stealing to happen. It's what are they going to say? What are you going to say on the day of judgment when Jesus says that you loved your own life more than truth? How are you going to justify your love for relationships over your relationship with Christ? I mean, this is the fundamental heresy of our time, that we value relationships over truth. That's really what it comes down to. How are you going to justify your preference for peace over righteousness? I look around and this is what I see. And because of this, we're plagued, we're cursed. You look at the world, we joke, we call it clown world, but what it is, it's just a plague, it's a curse. It's a curse because we're allowing this to happen. None of the men in the church want to die. But that's what Christ calls us to. So we need to become more like Phinehas. We need to violently stand up and stop this sexual immorality from happening near the holy place, which happened in Phinehas' time. In the holy place, we are the holy place. We are the tabernacle. Christ has sent his spirit in us. We are the tabernacle of Christ, and the sexual immorality is happening in the holy place. And it's insanity. It's insanity. It's We could ask ourselves, are there millstones heavy enough to put on the necks of our pastors who permit this to occur? Is there a punishment severe enough to whip the backs of Christians who love their pastors more than Jesus? Are there sharp enough briars and thorns to tear into the backs of these cowards? There is, for those who repent of their sins. Christ bore these punishments on himself for these shameful sins. At Calvary, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was sacrificed for our sins, for my sins, and for your sins. And so what are you going to do, brothers and sisters? My friends and my family, bend your knee, repent, bow down before Christ, and say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. And if you refuse, you will receive, you will be rewarded according to your works, and you will suffer. And God will reward you justly. And I would not want to be in that place. And so God calls you to repent. And we are, as ambassadors of Christ, calling you to repent, to lead us with your repentance. And so this reminds us to lead with repentance as well, to confess our own sins. So let us confess our sins to our Creator.